Just welcome. You may be seated in the presence. We thank you for being with us today. It is awesome. Always good to see your face. Always good to see new faces. And again, we want to thank our first-time guests who come to fellowship with us today. If you have any questions about the way we worship, why we worship the way we do, or anything that's said, don't hesitate to ask us after service. We're not ashamed or trying to hide anything. We'd rather be open and honest, transparent, if you will, than to try and hide things just to get people to come in or be comfortable in that sense. We don't try and scare people away, but we understand people, people are different. People are people. But for you who are here, get ready. Amen. I'm not going to be very long. And that is a yes. It's a yes today. It's a yes and an amen. Normally when I say that, I have no intentions of being long or anything like that, but God will start doing things and speaking, and I try and shut it off, and it just keeps coming. But I believe today a lot of the work was done, and there's still some things that God wants to do and share with you. So we're gonna kind of follow this format of the post today, and just to see what else the Lord would have to share with us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and time. We thank you for everybody that's here under the sound of my voice. Let your voice speak through my voice to your sons and daughters that are in this place. May they who have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church of the living God. And may you be glorified in all that's said and done. I thank you, and as the Psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And the title is Do All to the Glory of God. And you've heard this before, and it comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It's like, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, and if my thing is if we can't, if there's something in life that we cannot do that fails to glorify God, or if there's something in life that we want to do but it cannot glorify God, we as the people of God, the sons and daughters of God, should not partake in it. Amen. Because that's what it's telling us to do. And it's that has got us in the condition, state, and problems that we face today. Adam, when he sinned in the garden, he committed a transgression against God. God gave him specific commandments, orders, or statutes, if you will. God, first of all, Adam, he lived, I believe it was 930 years, so he was around a long time. Praise God. He was around long enough to get to generations to come to tell them of how creation began. And so it went from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. But here you have the one whom God began with, the first man, around for 930 years or so, if you will, in order to share with the generations to come how everything began. And so even though it wasn't written at the time, when Moses came on the scene, because we believe Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, when Moses came on the scene, he began to record things, if you will. And that's from the tradition of passing from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. What happens when a generation fails to pass on the traditions and the truths of what God has given? You have a generation that grows up that does not know God. And so because we do not know God, and we have been wired, created to worship, we are, we're going to praise something or someone. We're going to worship something or someone, whether it be ourselves, whether it be our jobs, our careers, whether it be our spouses, whether it be our children. You know, we're going to worship something. It may be a rock, and it may sound silly and stupid, but there are people who actually worship rocks. They actually worship trees, objects, if you will. And that's because we are wired, if you will, or created to worship. We were created to worship God. And the one true and living God is the God who created us. He created us in the beginning, made us in his image and after his likeness. No other animal, creature, or fish was created in his image and likeness. Of all creation, only mankind was made in his image and after his likeness. We are the ones that are the superior beings over all, you hear me, all creation in the sense, but we're not to be superior over one another. Amen. Yeah, so with that being said, we want to do all to the glory of God. So we start off with a fruitful, vibrant, abundant, faithful, sanctified, glorious life that is evident of the presence and power of God working to will and do of his good pleasure. Sorry about that. Is the general rule for Christians. In other words, that's like, you know, okay, what is God expecting of me? Why am I here? Why was I created? Why did I come out and somebody else didn't come out in my place? You were created for the express image and glory of God. You were created to glorify him in everything you do, in word and in deed, with your very life, if you will. Some might say, well, I want to do my own thing. You can do that. You have free choice, free will to do it. But do you want to come to purpose, or do you want to just try and discover things? Because that's in the nature of man, to try and explore and discover. But even that was given to us by God. It was he who in the beginning told Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, explore my creation and subdue it. And just as surely as he made every tree in the garden to bear fruit and to have within its own self the ability to reproduce after its own kind, which is why apples don't produce pears, don't produce tomatoes, don't produce oranges, don't produce spinach, if you will, dot, dot, dot. Everything reproduces after itself. So if we were made in the image and likeness of God in the beginning, that is what God wanted to continue throughout creation, if you will, that we would continue to raise up beings that will look like, act like, walk like, talk like, bear the image and likeness of God. That's the definition of being godly, to be like God. In the likeness of God, we were made. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we thank him. And so what do? In everything we do, we want to glorify him. Now, the Bible plainly says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It excludes no one. All have sinned. There is none righteous, the Bible teaches us, no, not one. The Bible goes as far as to say, it is not in man to know what to do. We need God's intervention. We need someone to teach us, someone to help us, someone to instruct us. Even at this day and time, it is not meant for us to just grow up like a weed, if you will, out in the field, left alone and become wild or something like that. We are supposed to be raised up in divine order. Somebody is supposed to be speaking into our lives and helping us and leading us in the right way to go, because it's not in man to do so. We grow up with the rebellious nature. We grow up resisting authority. We grow up being told don't do this and don't do that. And, you know, we grow up like that. We grow up getting corrected from a baby, if you will, on up to adulthood. Because we have this desire in us, for lack of better words, or a nature that is contrary to God, to just resist, rebel, and just do whatever we want to do. And when we want to do what we want to do, and when we do it, we mess up and we miss God and we fall short of his glory. So God even gave us his word. He said, write this down so generations to come will know what it is that I expect of them. Amen? And listen, coming to church is not all about getting beat up, battered, and bruised by, you know, condemning and saying, you know, you're just no good and you'll never be any good, dot, 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 and things like that. And it's not about getting your money, because we don't have enough money in order to please and satisfy God. This is all about a personal, intimate relationship with the one true and living God. And then from that relationship, our lives bearing the fruit of being made in the image and likeness of him, fulfilling the hope of his calling, his expected end and not our own. Sometimes we have there are some of the things that we desire to do that we find align up with the will of God. You know what I mean by align up? They align themselves with what God wants. It's something that we want, and it's something that God wants for us. And why is it there? Because that desire was placed in our heart by God to do. But whatever it is, it's nothing that we would be embarrassed about. It's nothing that we would be found to be doing wrong about. It's nothing that involves corruption or deceit or any of those things. It's something that we can do openly, publicly, and honorably, if you will, We're talking about Memorial Day tomorrow, and tomorrow it's really all about honoring those who have fallen, those who have died in battle, if you will, for fighting, you know, defending our freedom, and whether they fought around the world or whether they were just here on this soil and they lost their lives in battle. We honor them that their lives were not, you know, like a waste, if you will, but, you know, and I love the way the military honors the fallen soldiers. I love the way they honor them with respect, if you will. It's like nothing like it. There's this movie that talks about how, and forgive me for forgetting exactly the terms, but I didn't plan on bringing this up. But it's like when a fallen soldier is flown back to our land, they are immediately assigned, even before that, I believe, they are immediately assigned an individual who will be with them up until that body is buried in the ground. Just honor. That is just honor to appreciate. Now, once you're dead, you're dead. And whether they were just to throw you over in the sea or, you know, ship you, you know, bury you over in the land that you died in, or honorably brought your bones back to the United States of America and gave you the most honorable burial that you could have, you're still dead. And it's when we die that everything that we did in life comes before God. It's not like it's not there before him now, but it's like the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, judgment. And so we face judgment, and that judgment will be either eternal damnation or it'll be eternal life with God. It depends on what we did, not our works, but what we believed in and how we lived our life after we said we believe this. And so we repent of our sins and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we have eternal life living and abiding within us. But we don't stop at our confession. We go on to live out the life, if you will. And this is not condemnation for anybody. It's just we short ourselves and deprive ourselves of the greatest life we could ever live, because now we're in cooperation with God, and now we're fulfilling the hope of his calling. Does it mean we won't have peril? Does it mean we won't have problems? Does it mean we won't have any opposition? Oh, we'll have that, but the greater one will be inside of us to see us through it. Because you're going to have perils and toils and difficulties in life anyways. It's best to have the creator of the universe in your life, leading and guiding you every step of the way. Hallelujah. So anyways, this is what God, when we read his word and we just not take it out of context, but just see the good things that God says for us of what he wants, it becomes a fruitful life. Jesus says, in this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. He says, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. Now, when he was speaking, of course, he was speaking to the Jews, if you will, and the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. Any others who thought that they were the vine, he says, they're not the vine. I'm the true vine. Okay, and they knew what he was talking about and speaking of the vineyard, speaking specifically of God's people, the children of Israel, if you will. But Jesus says, I'm the true vine. Every branch that abides in me, if it bears fruit, my Father prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. He says, if it does not bear fruit, then my Father will pluck it off. And it's good for nothing but throwing into the fire. In other words, to perish. And so that means to me that not that God is sitting over, you know, over the, like Pastor Ross says, over the sapphire seals of heaven. Not that he's looking over just to condemn us for doing wrong or just trying to order our lives to make us do things a certain way. It's like, no, this is what I have for you. This is what I desire for you. I desire your life to be fruitful and productive. I desire your life to bear the glory and the honor that I have placed on it. I desire your life to bear the sacredness of what life truly is all about. I want to see the best in you. You'll never get to this place apart from me. You can do great things, but as Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, your soul is more important to God and ought to be more important to you than anything and everything you could accomplish or achieve in this world. If you prize anything anything above your soul, you have the wrong priority. Some people sell their souls. They'll sell it out to the devil. They'll sell it out to others. They'll, you know, do anything and everything just to try and reach some sense of satisfaction, if you will. But for God, it's like, I want you not only to have life, but I want you to have life more abundantly. I want you to have a fruitful and productive life. I want you to have a life that is full of meaning and purpose. So you're not going out here, why am I here? What is this all about? And all this, trying to discover who you are. Listen, before you came into existence, you didn't exist. And you came in existence not apart from God's knowledge. You came into existence by divine purpose that God says, you shall come forth. Mama and daddy may not have planned it, but God did. And it may not have even been the perfect match, but God saw fit that you would come through. And just as surely as God would use Pharaoh, as God would use Nebuchadnezzar in order to show his power in the earth, and these were evil men that God had to punish them, if you will, in order to achieve his purpose. They were already evil and bent to go to hell. So what God did was use them for his purpose and for his glory to send a message to the whole world that he's God and besides him there is no other. That is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar found out when he thought he was like the Most High, when he thought he was the Mr. Big, if you will. God made that man go out there and graze in the fields with the cows, if you will. He was out there and his hair was grown all nappy and stuff, and his beard was all long and nappy, and his nails were, you know, like a bird or eagle or something like that. His nails were like claws, and he was out there eating grass. We're talking about a king. We're not talking about somebody that's a pauper who's poor and miserable and has nothing good going for them. We're talking about somebody who was living in royalty, yet he exalted himself above who he was supposed to be. And so God had to humble this man and made him go out there and eat with the cows, with the cattle, if you will. And until he came to his senses, that is where he stayed. But when he came to his senses, God raised him up and he came back and got his position to keep. Carry out. But see, God will use even the evil person for his intended purpose, and that's to get you and I to him. He used Pharaoh. Pharaoh commissioning the children of Israel to be put in bondage and captivity because he felt like they were a threat to him. There's so many of them. If they side with our enemies, they may come against us in order to overtake us. So let us put them in bondage. And for 400 years, as God spoke to Abraham, that his people would be incarcerated. I'll use the word incarcerated. They would be enslaved for over 400 years. And that was so. But in the appointed time that God said, he says, but when I bring them out, I won't bring them out empty-handed. I'm bringing them out with all the spoils of Egypt, if you will. And God did exactly that at exactly the right time for when he told Abraham about it. And so everything is working not only for God's glory and honor, but it's working for his intended purpose, and that is to get us to him. You're here today, not by chance and not by accident. There may have been some things that have gone on in order to, but it's God working behind the scenes to get everyone's attention because he still wants the people to know that he is God, and besides him, there is no other. And as he said, there is no other Savior besides me, not me, but Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ at that time. So when Jesus came on the scene, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, who was full of grace and truth, if you will. Moses came with the law, the commandments, but Jesus came with grace and truth. And the difference between the two is that what Moses brought no eternal life. It was good, it is right, it is the way God wants us to live. But there was no salvation in it, because if you missed it in one area, you missed it in all. God does not grade on a scale according to mankind. He is gracious, he is loving, he is merciful, he is kind, and he goes beyond the realm of what is necessary in order to get our attention. I mean, God just kind of like bends over backwards, but the one thing that he will not do is deny himself, and he will not lie. He will always give us truth. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and what Jesus does is, because he's in God and God is in him, God wrapped up in flesh and humanity, he comes down on this earth and he's revealing the will of the Father, because he's been with the Father. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the heart of the Father. And that's what he came to reveal to the people. God had people who were there to represent him, but these people weren't doing a very good job of it. So he sent his son. His only begotten son. And in the mindset and heart of God, God was saying, they will respect my son. Some did, some didn't. Sad to say, the people that he came to redeem are the people that rejected him. And so the people who were not expecting him opened up and received him. And as John goes on to say, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. That's you and I today. We believe on the name of Jesus. We believe that neither is there any other name, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there any other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's only the name of Jesus. That seems closed-minded, narrow-minded. It may seem like, you know, that can't be the only way, but I'm telling you, from God's perspective, it's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's not to make us feel like we got it all right and everybody else got it all wrong. It's just truth, you know, and you just can't deny the truth. The truth sets us free. So, abundant. Jesus says, my Father prunes that we may bear more fruit. He says, fruitful, vibrant, or I put in that, vibrant, lively, active. Dad don't like boring people either. He loves us. But, you know, he gives us his life, that we come alive to him. Now, our way of expression may be a little bit different, but there should be the similarity of there's life here. Yeah. There's life, there's growth, there's maturity, there's honor, there's respect, there's dignity. We're just not victims of society. We may have been victims before we came to Jesus, but we're no longer victims. Now we're victorious. Hallelujah. We used to be overcome, but now we're overcomers. Amen. We used to be the tail, but now we are made the head, if you will. Hallelujah. We were moved from the back of the line to the front of the line to give God glory, honor, and praise. And nobody can put us in the back of the line. We can put ourselves if we want to, but nobody can just put us in the back of the line. We're all up front. Hallelujah. We're running this race to win. We're not running it to lose. We're not running it just to be in the race. We're running it to win. Hallelujah. And we win in life when we are with Jesus. So, fruitful, vibrant, abundant, more than enough, more than what is necessary, overflowing even to bless others, faithful. He wants us faithful, full of faith, faithful, reliable, dependable, faithful, bearing the character and nature that is expected of us, doing those things that are expected of us, not because God, again, is cracking a whip over heaven and saying, do this. It's not that. It's love. And love seeks to build. Love seeks to inform. Love seeks to teach. Love seeks to instruct. Love seeks to build up and not tear down. Love seeks to move you forward and not backwards. Love seeks to win. It seeks to, you know, love never fails. It always accomplishes what it sets out to do. And so this whole thing is driven by love, but let me go on. Faithful, sanctified. Now, when we hear that word, you know, some people have a different interpretation of what sanctified is. For some people, sanctified is shouting, if you will, a whole lot of shouting. For some people, sanctified is simply holy and consecrated. You're taken from one thing, you're separated from one thing, and then you're set apart to something else. And so the sanctification, it's a process of the cleansing, the purging, and the purifying, because, you know, when we get saved, everything just doesn't happen. If that was the case, there would be no need to grow and to mature. But because when we get saved, there's a growth process, and because we're alive, anything that is alive should be growing, and it should be maturing, and it should come into the fullness of what it is that it's been created for. And for us, we've been created for the express image and glory of God. Ah, praise God. Yeah, yeah. And everything that we do, we want to do all for the glory of God. It creates a different mindset. We don't settle for the weak and the beggarly when we can have the best. I've been telling a couple of students just this past week, you know, it's like, okay, one person has a C average, and it's like, okay, you have a C average, and don't be content with the C. Not when you know there's a B and an A, and both are better. Now, you may not be ready to get to the A, but let's go for the B. Let's not just settle right here, because C is just simply average. B is above average. A is excellent. That's how we were raised up. That's what those grades meant. They might mean something altogether different now. As a matter of fact, they might not even mean anything now, because it's like, you know, everybody gets a pass. It's like, no, you got to earn that pass. You got to do something to demonstrate that you have moved from this level to the next level, because you ain't getting promoted just for the sake of promotion. God doesn't even do that. You got to believe in order to get saved. You just don't come in saved. You understand that? Yeah, you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead in order for you to be saved. You don't just say, well, I'm saved. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? I just know I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. You know what the ant is. It may not sound good. It may not sound, you know, right. But, you know, it's like that ain't going to get it. That's not going to cut it. Why good? I do good deeds? Because if all we had to do was do good deeds and be a good person, then Christ died in vain. The horrific death that he endured, that he went through, that he encountered, not because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, not because he did anything wrong, not because he deserved it or anything like that. It was by divine counsel of God. It took place before the foundations of the world, if you will. And if we can just earn this salvation on our own, he died in vain. No, there's certain things we have to do in order to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And good works is not one of them. But I tell you what, after we get saved, we're supposed to do good works. Yeah, praise God. But we got to get saved first. Amen. And so anyways, let's keep on going. Glorious life that is evident of the presence and power of God working to will and do of his good pleasure is the general rule for the Christian. Rejection, persecution, abandonment, accusations, perils, and even death are some of the discomforts that may result in life from being a child of God, but none shall overshadow the goodness of God and the sanctification he brings to the hungry, thirsty soul. You get that? Because, see, just because we receive Jesus doesn't mean everything is going to be peachy king or a bed of roses or everything is just going to go wonderful. You're just going to have this wonderful life. You are going to have a wonderful life, but there may be some persecution. There may be some tribulation. There may be some trials and testings. You may encounter stuff that you don't even think that you deserve as an individual, but you will have to walk through that. And remember what the word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You will see me through this. Some people get bitter and angry with God because of something that happens to them or something that happens to a loved one. But see, the thing of it is we don't need to get angry with God. We just need to know what a root and source of that comes from. It comes out of sin, and it's a work of the devil. It's not the work of God. Remember how God created us in the beginning? Everything was good. And after he created mankind, everything was very good. And that would have been for all eternity until we sinned and fell short. And how did we sin? But the devil deceived Eve, and Adam willfully transgressed against God. So we see sin of man, but it's the enticement of the devil that opened up that door for sin to take place. So, rejection, persecution, that's a result of sin. That's a result of the Adamic nature, the fallen nature of man, hatred governed by the demonic powers and principalities that still rule today in the heavenly realms, but we have authority and power over them now. That's not written in your post, but that's just me sharing with you. We now have authority and power over them in the name of Jesus, not in our own name, but in his name and in his power and his authority. Okay, so we may experience some of those discomforts, but none of those things shall overshadow the goodness of God and the satisfaction that he brings to the thirsty soul. So I come back to this question, because we came into this year 2019 with that theme of step into it. So what's happening for you in 2009 thus far? It's good to always reflect and see how things are going. Our prayer out of Threshing Floor Tabernacle under my leadership, Pastor Lucia's leadership, and the leadership team of this ministry is that you are experiencing the goodness of God and the blessing of eternal life that we have in him. In who? Christ Jesus. Is there evidence of the true vine, Jesus, releasing fruit-bearing life in you that brings glory and honor to the Father? Is that happening? Is that going on? Because if it's not, that's what we are to expect. That's what we are to focus our attention on. Building that relationship, making that relationship so good that it can't help but produce fruit. You know, it's like a husband and wife coming together, and they're just so fruitful. It's like every year they're having kids. Every year. Then you just have a baby. Yeah, I'm having another one. Yeah, you know, not got rid of, but, you know, it's 9 months. In the 10th month, she's pregnant again after the baby's born. And so then, you know, it's just like just constantly being fruitful. And that's what Dad wants out of us. He wants our lives to be constantly fruitful. Now, we don't have to carry things around for 9 months in order to bear fruit as far as bearing fruit unto the Father. But this is what Dad expects out of the relationship with him. And this is what we ought to expect out of our relationship with him. You know, he expects, and we ought to expect. So something good should be happening because Dad's got good things on his mind concerning his church. Number one is that it's his will that none perish, but all come to repentance. So he wants each and every one of us to be impregnated with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we're able to preach this message of salvation unto those who are dead in trespasses and sins, whether they're family members, whether they're enemies, whoever, co-worker, friend, stranger, if you will, that we are free enough to speak this word, minister this message to them so that they can have an opportunity to receive eternal life. It's fruitful. Jesus' great commandment was this, his great commission. Go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he even said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. He even told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Why did he want us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? So that we can be clothed with power in order to effectively minister this message. And even from that baptism with the Holy Ghost, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be able to flourish through us. Because the Bible says, not me, but the Bible says this. It says that the Spirit distributes severally as he wills. In other words, the Holy Ghost is looking to release the gifts of the Spirit through us in order to edify the body of Christ. Because that's what Dad has on his mind. I'm growing a harvest of people for eternity. I don't want to live eternity apart from my greatest creation. I'm not leaving them dead in trespasses and sins. I'm giving them life, and I'm giving them eternal life so that we can spend it together. My judgment, my wrath is coming, but I don't want anybody to perish. I want everybody to come to repentance. But it's God's understanding that not every man is going to receive, but it won't be his fault because he's done whatever he could do in order to save all humanity. Jesus didn't come just for the Jew. He didn't just come for the tribe of Judah. He came to save the entire world. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world, because if Jesus came to condemn, nobody would be saved, because all is sin and falling short of the glory of God. So he said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me, Jesus, not me, the world through me can be saved. I've given my life for the entire world. And so when he gives us that great commission, it's under the umbrella of what he has done. And he says, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. We don't have to go to Jerusalem no more. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost has come to America. The power of the Holy Ghost has come to every nation. It's a matter of what we allow the Holy Ghost to do what he was sent to do. Because he is our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our standby, our counselor, our teacher. He is our advocate. And he's waiting to move through you and I. Because so many are perishing. And we have the message of hope. We have the message of salvation. We have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I said I wouldn't be long. And it's a few minutes longer than what I'm normally. No, not really. I had to think about that for a moment. But I want to give you a chance to think about things, and I hope I shared enough to make you want to read the rest of it, what's in the post. And please dig into it, especially Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. That 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, boy, that one right there is something else. Paul says, whoever does not love Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. What does that mean? He says, let him be accursed. Christ came to save the world. Anybody that does not love Jesus, let him be anathema. Wow. That's not to threaten. It's not to make people feel discomforted. It is to reassure us of the salvation that is only in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time and moment. We thank you for the people that you have here with us. We ask your blessing and favor upon them. We pray that the word that has been spoken was enough to stir up the hearts of your people and come in alive to you. And Father, that someone, maybe in-house and maybe live stream, might want to be ready to give their lives to Jesus. We know that when we came into this world, we were ready because we were already dead in trespasses and sins, even when we breathed our first breath coming into this world. But there may be some, maybe one, maybe two, maybe more, that want to right now give their life to Jesus. You so clearly expressed how much you loved us. First of all, you created us in your image and after your likeness. And when we sinned and trespassed in Adam and Eve, sin spread to all men because all have sinned. It's according to your word. But you didn't give up on us. You spoke it in the garden. You said the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Speaking of how you would clothe yourself in humanity and come down and save us from our sin. It wasn't long. For us, it's long, but for you, 1,000 years is as a day, and one day is as 1,000 years. But it was 4,000 years later that you fulfilled that when you manifest Jesus in the earth. And so right now, we just want to give people the opportunity to get saved, to have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to live a life that is full of purpose and divine order and guidance. Be the glory cloud over our lives, Lord. Be that glory cloud that you spoke of concerning the children of Israel, how your cloud would hover over every assembly, that you hover over our lives. Holy Ghost, do the work in drawing all men to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody can pray it. And if you don't feel compelled. Be compelled to be saved. But we don't force you to say these words, but we definitely desire you to, because we know these are the words that lead to eternal life. And how do we know that except for what the scriptures teaches us about how to get saved? The Bible says it's simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, neither is there any other name in earth or in heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is about receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Son of man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's knocking at your door today. Let him in. Don't let this moment and hour pass you by. So everyone, willingly, repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, and you who are watching live stream, you join in with this. Heavenly Father, I come before you today in the name of Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. According to your word and according to the faith you've given me, I am now saved. Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. Live inside of me. Make me a new creation. Cause old things to pass away. And cause the new things of eternal life to come forth in me. I'll serve you. I'll love you with all that is within me. As you teach me and you show me how to live for you. Thank you for dying for me. Now I'll live for you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Glory. 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 Well, if you're going to clap, clap. If you're not going to clap, don't clap. Amen. But, you know, make it plain, make it clear. He makes life worth the living because he lives. Not on a cross, not in a grave. At the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercessions for all of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for this day. Did anyone pray that prayer for the first time? If you did, raise your hand. You did? You meant it from your heart? Can you come forward, please? This is Brother Charles. Brother? Yeah. It's your big brother. How you doing? What's your name again? Matthew?
Patrick.
Who's Matthew? Anybody know a Matthew? Your nephew. Okay. Well, we're going to pray for Matthew because Matthew came up. Patrick. Okay. Patrick, you've made the greatest decision that you could ever make, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Live for God with everything that is within you. He's going to supply everything that you need. Right now, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels, which means there's rejoicing before the throne of God, and there's rejoicing here on earth. And you are now birthed into the family of God. You have experienced what's called being born again. Born from the dead to live forever in the eyesight of God. So I'm going to pray a prayer over you, if you don't mind. And if you have any questions about growing in your faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, don't hesitate. Seek God. He's going to plant you in a family, a local assembly, where you can hear the word and grow. And as I said before, it's not in man to know the right things to do. So he needs someone to teach him. We all do. And so we're going to believe God that he's going to plant you where he desires you to be, where you can grow and be the man that God has called you to be, the whole reason why you came into existence. Amen. Again, QLM and LTJ is canceled for tomorrow. We'll resume the following week. We'll be here at the altar for prayer tonight at 6. And so, yes. But Father, we thank you. We thank you for Patrick giving his life to Jesus. We don't know who was watching, but we pray that they've been ministered to live stream, Facebook Live, Ustream, Facebook Live. We thank you for all of our guests that were here today. We pray the power of your blessing upon each and every one. And I speak this over you now, the Lord our God, that the Lord will bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord will be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, mainstay, prop and supporter of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with this eye. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen. All right, we love you. Thank you for being here today. Amen. We love you, Facebook Live. We love you, Ustream Live. Keep tuning in. Let us hear from you. Amen.